And welcome to another Hometown Daily News Show. I am Mayor Watt. That is hometown.com over there. Oh, let me scroll up a little bit so that you can actually see the title of this page. So this is the news stream from Hometown. And that's what powers Hometown Daily News Show and all of the subsequent shows that I would like to launch here at Twitch. And because I'm not partner, I need to copy it over to YouTube. And it's also a podcast, so go and do a search over in your favorite podcasting facility, apparatus, whatever it might be, and odds on you will find Hometown. And within it will be multiple shows, Hometown Daily News Show, the Continuity Report. There's actually 50 shows that I want to bring to the market. I've just been started doing this, but I'm not hyping it up. I'm not advertising anywhere. Really, I guess I'm just kind of stumbling my way through this. So if you want to support this, be sure to come over to Twitch and follow it or talk about it, tell people about it. Basically, Hometown Daily News is a mishmash of news from across six main categories: create, news, education, entertainment, social, and technology. And within that, 50 shows. Like I said earlier, Continuity Report is just one of them. There's a bunch of technology ones that are more focused on a specific type of tech, but the Hometown Daily News Show is kind of the holistic news show from across all of Hometown, which is representative of news from across the internet. So some of it is global, some of it is local to the United States. That's where I'm at. I'm in the United States. Anyway, let's get into today's news. That way, it's Father's Day. Today is June 19th, 2022, episode 170. I don't have a title for it yet because, well, I do the title after I see all of the news, because I take a sampling of news from Hometown, but I don't read the news. My reaction live here on the stream and live over on YouTube, well, not live, but recorded over on YouTube and in the podcast as a audio, is my honest reaction, my thoughts. I've been in the industry of business, technology, and society for about, a long time. I don't really want to age myself because I don't act my age, I suppose, depending on who you talk to and the circumstances. So context matters, as I like to say, and people are being driven nuts by me saying context matters, but it does. So let's get into today's news. The very first episode, very first article is The Human Cost. It's an article that's over in MarketWatch, but the title of this is Bitcoin is like digital gold. It's the first and it doesn't have an unlimited supply. The wild ride of a 30-something investor during the crypto crash and how he fought against hackers. So their $25,000 ballooned to $63,000 super fast. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Right. So let's click this link. Takes me over to MarketWatch. The article is written by Quentin Fottrell. I don't know if, they're not the actual investor. So Vinny Zane, quote, the scary part of the crypto space, more so with NFTs, is that you can so easily get compromised and hacked and lose everything. Why is that? Why is that the scary part of the crypto space? Why can you be hacked by something that is supposed to be secure, something that's supposed to be protected from everything, from what transactions are taking place and auditable? Why can you be hacked and lose everything? It's ridiculous. But apparently it happens enough to be nearly a meme. Vinny Zane has a taste for life and an appetite for risk. The 38-year-old teacher and father of a 2-year-old son, well, how apropos that they are being written about on Father's Day, on Brooklyn's Coney Island, got into crypto in 2017 with $4,000 worth of Bitcoin and jumped into NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, last year. So their 4,000 turned into 25,000, turned into 63,000. And they say something here that I think is pretty much accurate. And I'm going to get to the point about it being gold here in a minute. But they say, I started FOMOing, fear of missing out, by the way, if you don't know what FOMOing is, fear of missing out, into all of these little coins. And everything was doing well at the time. I was like, whoa, it's incredible. I have no idea what I'm buying, but I'm going to keep buying. 25,000 turned into 63,000 in 2017. The price, let me see real quick. So, well, let me do it this way. Yeah, I suppose. So, let me look back. 2017, the price of Bitcoin was actually pretty high compared to when I got started. So somewhere in there, it was about $1,000. So, but between now and then, so that $4,000, let's say their average price was $1,000 because that was in part most of 2017 was above $1,000. Well, let's just say they're 19 times their $1,000 or $4,000. But we'll get to that and the price because Bitcoin right now actually dropped earlier today below $18,000 from its peak of over 68,000, I think it was. Sometime in its existence, it was at 68,000. I'd have to hunt it down. Yeah, closer to 68,000. At any rate, so now it's on its downtrend, but I keep discounting crypto because I don't think that it's, well, it's not worth anything. It's all based on investors' fear of missing out and driving the price up higher and higher. And I'm going to, this person's an educator and doesn't look at the whole thing in a holistic sense. And it's concerning, you know, this person might be out there telling people, hey, you should invest in this, invest in that. Sure, risk, 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 risk. An investor, as investors reevaluate their investment in risky assets, with talk of recession growing louder and the market heading for another week of red, Zane is holding firm. Yeah. He has, after all, already watched his investment implode in 2018. It was not pretty. It was dropping by 7,000, 8,000 a day. After about 2 weeks, I was basically even. I thought, screw it, I'll leave it there. Yeah, good money after bad. And maybe it'll come back up. Over the last 2 years, I have had a huge loss. Yeah, I should have sold it at 60,000, but getting in at 1,000 or 2,000, I could probably make an argument that he only bought two Bitcoin. But you don't actually, when you invest in Bitcoin, you don't actually own Bitcoin. You own like fractions of it, right? You just own a valuation of real dollars pegged to the Bitcoin, whereas Bitcoin's value is pegged to the US dollar. So you basically just created a hugely volatile environment for your investment. And that's risk. You know, that's a standard investment kind of a thing. So I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is the ideology that Bitcoin has any inherent value. And trying to link Bitcoin to gold is absolutely, absolutely not thinking about what gold is in the holistic sense and what Bitcoin isn't in any context other than an investment in the possible future. So let's say it this way. Try and do something with a Bitcoin other than sell it to somebody who thinks that it might go up, or buy something by using a Bitcoin and giving it to somebody for whatever product or service you're actually buying. that person has to have a perceived value that Bitcoin is worth X number of US dollars. US dollars are pegged to the GDP of the United States. And in the greater ecosystem of economics and macroeconomics. So you have two different ideologies here, and they're really at odds, and one is built entirely on ignorance. You cannot take a Bitcoin and do anything other than spend it. But gold and the perceived value of gold is predicated on the idea of its utility, not just that it's shiny, not just that gold exists and that it's a limited resource, but it is actually used, it is consumed, and it is lost. And to get it back takes energy and time, and it's lossy. You don't recover 100% when you try and recover gold from electronics or whatever, but gold is used in myriad places. It has inherent value because it actually is used. But Bitcoin is not. Bitcoin is nothing more than an investment vehicle for somebody to risk real dollars. And it has turned the people who got into it really early. So I got into Bitcoin really, really early. Okay. It was like a penny. It was maybe 10 cents by the time I bowed out. I stopped paying attention to Bitcoin other than as a news element, something for me to talk to people about, because it really has no value except for the propensity of people to acquire it so that they can sell it for real dollars later on. I have an ethical compass that believes that value comes from spending money, not just accruing it, but spending money for products and services, and that stimulates the economy, whereas investing money to reap more money does nothing but raise the cost of living. The reason why we are in an inflationary trend right now, and greedflation really, is because there are companies out there and CEOs and boards that are saying you need to raise prices because our margins are being hit. That's the only reason why we have what we have right now, in my estimation. So somebody come to me and tell me, no, that's not why. And I would love to hear a conversation about it. But I am burdened by two things. One, I don't go out into the real world and poke a bunch of people and say, hey, look at my podcast or my stream or anything, really. I do talk about this stuff in the real world, but online, nobody knows about me. So go out there and tell people who I am and what I am saying. And I'd love to have a conversation. But again, if everybody starts spewing vitriol, remember, you're in somebody else's house. So you'll be asked to leave if you get pissy about things. At any rate, would love to talk about this more. But this person has a wrong perception. They've distilled whatever need to comprehend what Bitcoin is as a value of anything into something that actually has inherent value. You know, just because people thought that it was great because it was a limited resource, it was a limited resource. But nowadays, it has actual function in its form. Whereas before, it was an art piece. It was something that was in limited number, but could still be gathered. And from its mine, it could be made into coin or hammered flat and wrapped around something or turned into a piece of symbolic value, either in a tribe or in a religion or in a whatever. Because it would never tarnish, it would never degrade. It was impervious to the elements, largely. And that's why it had value way back. Well, now it's in electronics. Now it's in a bunch of things that have increased the quality of life. That's why it has value. And not to mention, it's a limited resource, yes, but Bitcoin is a limited resource because it exists as a limited resource. It wasn't because nature made it a limited resource. And gold really isn't a limited resource. It's like diamonds. There's more of it. You just have to find it. And when we move off to some other planet, it'll be there too. And then what happens when we find a planet that that is rich with gold because it had the right environment? And it's far off from now, sure. I'd say we're not going to be on other planets mining for 200 years. At the rate we're going, I mean, for crying out loud, we're still fighting over land with diminishing populations. We're losing the wisdom and we're losing the technical sophistication with those aging people dying off. Populations are declining. We have all kinds of technology, but we're fighting over a stream somewhere or trying to take over. Russia's trying to take over Ukraine because they want to get to the warm water port. And they think that they are doing great. And it's not all of Russia either. It's just a few people. Anyway, we're still fighting. We're throwing sticks just faster at each other. That's all that a bullet is. That's all that explosives are. That's all that anything is. It's basically throwing a rock or a stick at somebody faster than previous generations. Anyway, so this is wrongheaded, I think. This person has a wrongheaded perspective and may have become financially well off because they got in at an early enough time to turn themselves into a 100,000-aire or something, whatever. I don't know. They could be a millionaire by this point. But it still has no value. And if it's still in crypto, they're going to lose their shirt with the belief that it's going to return. But again, crypto has no inherent value. Zero. It's all money chasing after money, driving the price up. And when one person owns all of the Bitcoin, it's not going to have any value because nobody wants it. And this, it'll decline and it might rise back up, but it's all about money chasing money. Let's go on to the next article. It's in the Warcrafters channel. Check out the demo for Stylish Dynamic Deck Builder Beneath Oriza. So, did I say who the name was? Yeah, Quentin Fottrell over at MarketWatch did that last article. So this article is over at PC Gamer. Let's just click the link and I'll take it over since I hopped on my soapbox. So Jonathan Boulding is the author of this. It says, this science fantasy demo stands out in a flooded genre. Yeah, I agree. And deck building is kind, I don't know. There's a lot of artistry in it, but all of the mechanics are largely the same. You know, this stat or that stat, this stat versus that stat. There's no story really there. It's just you competing against somebody else. But I love the artwork. I still love pretty much everything about it. I think for the first time, I'm going to show some of the trailer of a game while I'm on somebody's site. Again, this is over at PC Gamer, but you can go over to YouTube and do a search for Beneath Oriza and you'll find the trailer. But you really should go over to PC Gamer and read this article, or you can always mash the button that says listen to this article. Let's see what this says. Oh, there's an ad. That's wonderful. So you select the cards, great artwork, very similar to Borderlands in nature, it seems. I don't know about the content of it, but it looks pretty neat. I like the idea of this design, but it is a deck builder, so keep that in mind. It looks like there might be a storyline to it. It says, as well as a heck of a lot of stylish animation, They rarely recommend games in the genre, which has exploded in popularity since Slay the Spire, but they think that Beneath Oriza might have what it takes to join Monster Train alongside Slay the Spire as a great... Yeah, looks neat. Definitely looks neat. Go over to Steam. You can follow it and... Hold on a second. Let's see here. Yeah, you can add it to your wish list. Let's see. So Beneath Oriza is still a demo, and you can add it to your wish list, like I just did, and check it out. But definitely go over to PC Gamer. I don't have a relationship with the website. I'm not advertising for them. They're not advertising for me. But it is a source of news for me. Let's go on to the next article, and that is TSMC plans more 3-nanometer chip factories in big Taiwan production push. So TSMC is further increasing its footprint in Taiwan by building 4 more facilities valued at $10 billion apiece in its production hub in Tainan. Tainan. Intended for the manufacture of 3-nanometer chips, Apple chip partner TSMC has been working to expand production in a bid to address the global chip shortage. While attempts elsewhere in the world are slowly progressing, work is in its native Taiwan is going at a much faster pace. I certainly would like to have manufacturing return to the United States. What's interesting, though, is that we have very high-end manufacturing here domestically, usually with stuff that is intellectual property that wants to be protected to a greater degree, usually state-sponsored stuff. But we outsource all kinds of production to other markets, largely because of the cost of production. We have more oversight here in the United States, and it would be very expensive to spin something up here. I mean, for crying out loud, Lego is launching a business here in the United States, a manufacturing plant of just Lego bricks, and it's $1 billion. Lego bricks. We're talking about high quality molding, injection molding, and manufacturing of plastic, and it's $1 billion. You know, I can make a plastic injection molding machine here, in my office. I can build the entire process. Of course, it's a lot slower, but it's like $1,000 to build something that does plastic injection molding, but it's costing $1 billion or something like that. Let me see. Let me actually make sure. I think it's in Virginia, right? Is it $1 billion or $10 billion? Sorry for the dead air. Yeah, it's only $1 billion. Only, sorry, I shouldn't phrase it that way. $1 billion is quite a bit of money, but it's going to create 1,760 jobs. Well, TSMC is spending $10 billion a piece in across 4 fabs in Tainan to address the global chip shortage. But I'm kind of curious why there is a chip shortage. Why is there a chip shortage? Manufacturing of chips is automated. You can't build chips using humans. You can do packaging and pulling and shipping and all of that stuff with people, but this is the push that's going to... This issue is going to lead to further automation. Chip shortage and human capital is the problem. So it's going to lead to automation. But we also have this problem of diminishing population. So we're not even at the replacement level of the population, because there isn't enough money, opportunity, equity, inclusion in any culture to encourage people to have kids. You know, why would somebody want to bring more kids into this world if the opportunity is to essentially become opportunity-less the moment that you are of age. You have to get a job and whatnot. There's nothing really there. And the reason why there's nothing there is because billionaires and mega corporations own everything and don't want to pay a living wage. They want to screw everybody and pay them only $7 an hour. Not to mention wherever else in other countries with less oversight than in the US, there's greater abuses. Thankfully, organizational bodies, essentially unions like the European Union, is standing up to fight for the common person. Like here in the States, you have the House of Representatives that has dilution of its power as time goes on and populations increase. But you have increase in power when you turn the corner and look at Senate. Those 100 people stay stagnant. They are the same people, usually for decades, and their power increases as population grows and the House of Representatives is diluted by that increase in population because it grows based on the number of people in a state. So, anyway, let's go on to the next article. And it is U.S. Harpoon missiles destroyed a heavily armed Russian vessel in the Black Sea, says Ukraine's military. There's going to be a picture. I don't know what it is. I haven't seen it yet. I don't click on anything until I'm actually streaming, other than grabbing the headline and reading the little snippet of the aggregator. So we're going to visit the source, but this is from Business Insider, so hopefully it's tame. Ukraine officials have said they struck a Russian tugboat in the Black Sea using two Harpoon missiles on Friday. It's the first time Ukraine has announced it has destroyed a Russian vessel with Western-supplied weapons. And the statement says that the harpoons used were given to Ukraine by the U.S. So, I'm not sure what the response is going to be, but so I look at things in a holistic manner, and when basically the United States became the world police, and I think it set things up to it changed the dynamic, and what happened with the oil and gas shock in the 70s, late 70s, was the United States gave a bunch of support to Israel. And in response, oil producing countries bound themselves together, not as OPEC. OPEC was created in 1960. The oil and gas shock in the 70s was because this donation under Nixon to Israel triggered these oil producing companies, countries really, that were part of AOPEC, an organization called AOPEC, which later changed to OPEC. But at any rate, so they basically embargoed the United States. So now we're giving a bunch of money to Ukraine, and Russia is a very big provider of energy, and that whole area is a very big supplier to various countries that are partners with the United States. So if Russia wants to, they can kind of commit to this and turn off everybody that they provide services for. And that can influence costs. But all of this is borne by profit margins of companies, because it isn't like the government is doing any of this. We're not producing anything by the government. It's being produced by private corporations. And so private corporations have a vested interest in raising the prices, and they can, and it'll price out people who can't afford stuff as it costs now, let alone once inflation starts hitting 13%, which again, I think is going to be coming around November of this year. So this it could be one of those things where leaning into acknowledgement that the US has been supplying Russia, or sorry, Ukraine with weapons to defend itself could lead to bigger issues depending on what Russia leverages to thwart US influence in this conflict. Some people will be fine with it. Other people will not be fine with it. And still others don't care one way or another and have no idea what's going on. This article is over at businessinsider.com by Bethany Dawson, by the way. So I encourage you to go over there and read this article. We provide a lot of weapons to a lot of company or a lot of countries. And it helps our domestic markets. You know, our economy is largely a military industrial complex, powered by oil. And as I've said in other episodes, oil is the one thing that is driving the prices up. And it's not the oil itself, because oil used to be $30 a barrel in the 70s until the oil and gas shock. And that never, what it did was it started getting traded in the stock market. Investors got a hold of it, and that actually created volatility because prior to 78, I think it was, or maybe 74, I'd have to look again. The price for oil never even broke $50. It was always 35 to 40. But now we're talking about 120 plus, and that volatility, it was spurred on by investors looking at the future value of a largely, there is a lot of oil out there, but when it's being sold for $30 a barrel and you can constrain the distribution of that resource, people freak out. That fear of missing out has caused the prices to shoot through the roof, and it's constrained even more in times of trouble. So you end up with this increased volatility, and now you have inflation because it's greed. It is greedflation. Call it what it is. It's greedflation. Companies are demanding more money because they want more and recovering what they lost or didn't make, I should say, during the pandemic. And they're just using conflict as an excuse. So the next article, I'm going to have to move on. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel. There's an 85% chance of recession based on stock market price action as gloomy talk of a downturn becomes self-fulfilling, JP Morgan says. I'm going to click the link and take us over to Business Insider again, but they're just the proxy. This is an article that's written by Matthew Fox, but they've reached over to JP Morgan and others that are reporting this in other places. I go to various sources to aggregate those. So, 85% chance that the current price actions for stock are indicators that we're going to end up in a recession. But this is a we've already known that we're heading towards a recession because the CPI is increasing, inflation overall is inflation, costs are increasing, salary is not increasing commensurate with these increases. In fact, if you've been a government worker, you've basically been losing money, hand over fist year after year. If you're in the public sector and you haven't been getting cost of living increases of 3% or more, you are already losing money, and you have been for the last decade. And the only ones that are really making any money are the ones that, really, I mean, regardless of education or whatever, it's just certain segments, of money protecting money. And this says the S&P 500 officially entered a bear market territory earlier this week and is now down more than 23% year to date. According to JP Morgan, the S&P 500 has experienced an average decline of 26% during the 11 prior recessions. So it doesn't mean all of the damage in stocks is done, as Both consumers and investors grow increasingly worried about the 40-year records in inflation and fast rising interest rates. And then we just raised it 0.75% on Wednesday. So I think that we are continuing this trend, and some people are very cognizant of it, and all the rest of us are victims of their decision making. And this is self-fulfilling. There's no reason to, quote unquote, slow an economy. The problem is greedflation is concentrating all of this value, all of this wealth into the upper echelon of producers. And those producers, supposedly producers, you know, job producers, resource producers, all of that money is trickling up. And, you know, the idiocy of Reaganomics says trickle down, but that's not how it works. The middle class is supposed to be the generator of wealth. Not one percenters. One percenters are sitting there saying, oh, out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to create a job. But it has to create more money for me than even the valuation of that job. So if I give somebody a job for $35,000, I had better be making $85,000 to $100,000 off of their $35,000 job. It's that type of multiple in greed that causes inflation, that causes, and it's self-fulfilling prophecy to have a quote-unquote good level of inflation at 3%. It's the same thing with technology saying, you know, every 2 years, the number of transistors doubles. Well, that's a business model. That isn't physics. That isn't the reality of it. Just look at the M1, M2. Look at the density and the micronization. This isn't something that has to be done. It's something that wants to be done. And that's why I don't really agree with all of this kind of stuff that's perceived by a supposed expert. No, they're creating business models, not the reality of living as a human being on this planet. The next article is over in the Hatch Ideas channel. This 26-year-old influencer quit her corporate job at a Big Four accounting firm to become a full-time content creator. Tanvi Shah has 70,000 followers on TikTok. By the way, TikTok is monitoring people. There's articles written about it where the U.S. data is being parsed. The intensity of that the is unknown, but there is discussion about what is actually going on. And 38,000 on Instagram. Increased her following from 5,000 to more than 38,000. In about 3 years, 26-year-old decided to leave her Big Four job after realizing that she could earn just as much. Shaw said that the corporate world affected her mental health and her job satisfaction is now higher, I'm sure. So businessinsider.com, Geota Man is the author of this. I'm sure that that her Instagram is about accounting, right? It's about finance. What does she do? When Tanvi Shah left her corporate job at the Big Four accounting firm, she knew that she was taking a huge risk by giving up her monthly salary to become an influencer full time. Posting regular on social media, she hadn't considered it becoming her main source of income. Let's see. Increasing the quality of images and videos, and in the process, worked with lots of businesses. What is her content? What is it that she's doing? Shares her makeup and fashion looks on her social media accounts. I could get away with that, right? Let's go on to the next article. The word in tech. The worst person you know, the man who unwittingly became a meme, Josep Maria Garcia. got the shock of his life when he found his image with an article that went on to clock up 2 billion hits. Soon after the pandemic plunged Spain into confinement, Josep Maria Garcia received a panicked call from his brother-in-law. He told me not to worry, but that I should Google the phrase, the worst person you know, said Garcia. I put it in there, and there I was, everywhere. I scrolled down, and it was my face. I thought, what was going on here? So let's go over to The Guardian. Josep Maria Garcia got the shock of his life when he found his image with an article that went on to clock up 2 billion hits. This is what it is to go viral, and sometimes it can destroy lives. Paranoia washed over him as he scrambled to piece together what had happened. He had posed for the photo in 2014 when he accompanied his brother-in-law, a professional photographer, on a work trip to Barcelona. As his brother-in-law, who Garcia asked not to be named, that's funny. Hey, you're under a bus. Please don't drag me under that bus. Prepared for a photo session with an American writer, he asked Garcia to stand in so that he could adjust for the light. The photo of Garcia, then 34, turned out well, so well that the pair decided to upload it to the Getty Images catalog. Told him that the image had been used to illustrate an article for a U.S. satirical magazine. At the time, he'd paid little heed. Now, as he sifted through the internet, he realized he had unwittingly became a global meme. The picture had been used to illustrate a lighthearted piece about an obnoxious colleague who normally talks rubbish for once, coming out with a killer observation about politics that no one can top. It's an article. The link that's in this article links to clickhole.com. Heartbreaking, the worst person you know. It's actually kind of funny. I used to go out with somebody that, for all intents, had no sense of humor. And then just blurted out one day, if they became a serial killer, they would put life cereal in their mouth so that they would be ironic. And everybody in the room looked at each other like, did they just say that? Because it was hilarious. But that's kind of what this is, you know, lighthearted piece about an obnoxious colleague who normally talks rubbish for once coming out and with a killer observation about politics that no one can top. Yeah, that's awesome. So you can go over to this article at The Guardian and, read more about it. Then come on back. Talk to me about it tomorrow. I'll be here at 11 o'clock. That's not the end of this show today, though. The next article is The Crypto Crash. All Ponzi Schemes Eventually Topple Eventually is the title. 1 week ago, cryptocurrency prices plummeted. Celsius Network, an experimental cryptocurrency bank with more than 1 million customers, has emerged as a leader in the murky world of decentralized finance, or DeFi, announced it was freezing withdrawals due to extreme market conditions. Yeah. By the way, when you invest in these kind of things, it's not federally insured, so you're screwed when your money is gone. You can't recover anything. You're done. So this is an article by Robert Reich. Won't really get too much into it, but essentially Bitcoin earlier today dropped below 18,000, 17,980 or something like that. But it's crawled back out. I think on Monday it's going to, not Monday. Yeah, Monday. I think trading is going to take place on Monday. I don't remember now. Doggone it. Anyway. And it's good money chasing after good money after good money, and it's all going to become bad. It's all bad for everybody because that money is not going to get recovered. You take the risk and you're done. But there are people that are suing various cryptocurrency organizations to try and get their money back, including people that are trying to sue Elon Musk for their risky shenanigans. I can't really get into this from the Guardian. You can go over and read more about it. But the the argument basically is that maybe this is now the time for Bitcoin to actually crash because it is the Ponzi scheme it is. It's a fictional currency created by somebody that nobody knows, and they retained a metric ton of Bitcoin so that they could drip it out at a later date or not. Nobody knows, you know, what's going to happen with their 200. I think they have 200,000 Bitcoin still that they kept, or maybe 2 million Bitcoin. I'm not sure. Let me find out. I'll do it live right now. So Nakamoto owns somewhere between 750 and 1.1 million coins, 750,000 and 1.1 million coins. So it's kind of like somebody, I can't phrase it that way because it's just going to incite riot. But if you create the problem and then you create the solution at the same damn time, you are benefiting from the problem you created. And Bitcoin is speculation, nothing but speculation. It has no inherent value, folks, but people see it as an opportunity to be greedy and obtain money, real money, because that is what everybody is after. People don't collect Bitcoin just to collect Bitcoin. They collect Bitcoin because they can convert it into real US dollars or whatever domestic currency a miner is living under. I'll just continue on. This next article is aggregated into the Daily News Show. That's this show. It just happens to be a channel on Ohmtown or in Ohmtown. Apple workers vote to unionize at Maryland store. More than 100 employees voted to unionize by a nearly 2-to-1 margin. And while I value unions for what they do, they stop abuse by corporations. That has been their history, and they're vilified for it by corporations. Corporations that have an interest in keeping people cheaply retained. The problem with retail, certain retail level unions, though, is that people come and go. And the people that formed this union at this Baltimore store are going to be gone because people typically don't make a lifetime of working at a retail store at Apple. You know, you're not there for 20 years and you're not necessarily, well, I mean, you may not be there. And then when somebody goes to get hired, they have to be part of the union, or they're, you know, essentially seen as a scab. Anyway, this is an abcnews.go.com article by the Associated Press, and it's over in Towson to be specific. So Apple retailers that work in the Towson, Maryland store voted 63-33. To seek entry into the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. Apple declined to comment on Saturday's development. A spokesperson named Josh Lipton told the Associated Press by phone. Not much to say. People did what they needed to do to feel like they were going to gain some type of bargaining power and defend themselves from what could be perceived as an oppressive workplace. And it's not good enough to just say, go get a job somewhere else. Because if you do that, you're endorsing the hostile environment of someone telling you, go get a job somewhere else if you don't like being here. It shouldn't be a choice like that. Everybody should be treated with respect. Everybody should be treated at the same level. And LRB says you got to offer X, Y, and Z in a time frame. I'm not sure why there are any rumors about people having to pee in bottles in Amazon warehouses because it shouldn't happen. It should never happen. And that's why there are unions forming there. Yeah, I think unions are fine for what they do. The problem is the I forgot what it's called. Well, anyway, the retention of employees is a big problem because people leave and new people get hired, and now they're bound by somebody else's rules. Anyway, the next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel. Trump-endorsed candidate Carrie Lake spoke out against drag queens dancing for children. A popular drag queen says that he performed for Lake and her young daughter. A Phoenix drag queen says that he was friends with Carrie Lake, a Republican running for Arizona governor. Richard Stevens said he performed in drag in front of Lake's daughter, who was 9 or 10 at the time. Lake's campaign said Stevens' claims were full of lies, but her daughter did see a Marilyn Monroe impersonator perform. A popular Phoenix drag queen called out Carrie Lake. So let's click the link. Yeah, and to me, it basically is the same thing. Who knows? I don't know if this is actually going to end up being proven, demonstrably proven. But this is an article over at businessinsider.com by Kelsey Vlamis. And there's Carrie Lake, who's running for Arizona governor. You won't see it in the podcast, of course, but as I say, every accusation is a confession when it comes from certain people, and this certainly smacks of it. If this person, but we also know about this escort that says that he hung out with Lady G and hinted that it is a senator. Not hinted, but called him out. We don't know. I don't know whatever happened to that person. I actually did a search recently to see whatever happened to that person, that adult escort. But it says here in this article, Richard Stevens, who's performed as a drag queen, Barbara Seville, for decades, said in a Facebook post on Friday that he and Lake used to be friends, but her recent comments on drag queen showed that she was a complete hypocrite and that he has performed. And has, oh, he included several photos of him and Lake and wrote, "I've performed for Carrie's birthday, I've performed for her in her home with children present, and I've performed at her or for her at some of the seediest bars in Phoenix." Yeah. The argument will always be in the face of all of this, not that, in a certain niche segment of the population, they're going to say, well, everybody can ask for forgiveness, and that invalidates any other claim that this person is hypocritical or not practicing what they preach, so to speak, or a bunch of other things you could say. I mean, the person is sitting there saying they kicked God out of schools and welcomed the drag queens. They took down our flag and replaced it with a rainbow. They seek to disarm Americans and militarize our enemies. Let's bring back the basics: God, guns, and glory. Yeah, bring back. That's basically code for bring back enslaving those that they don't deem worthy of being seen as a human being. That's what that code is for. And do it through might and do it through the fear of an entity. You know, folks, if you want to be theological, God is everywhere. Everywhere. Lift up a rock, God is there. Look at a bush, God is there. See the world around you and the people next to you, God is there. If you are religious, fear? No. That's an embodiment of human beings. That's the creation of people pointing a gun at you and saying you need to be afraid. Let's move on to the next article. That is the Daily News Show. Yellowstone National Park is partly reopening after its floods. There are still people that are trapped, from my understanding. To what degree, I'm not sure. abcnews.go.com is the author, or is the source of this aggregated bit of news from the Associated Press. I'm just going to pause this. There's a video playing if you're listening to this in the podcast. So Billings, Montana, Yellowstone National Park will partially reopen at 8 a.m. Wednesday after catastrophic flooding destroyed bridges and roads and drove out thousands of tourists. They were actually told to evacuate. This will cost billions of dollars to recover. And during these inflationary times, I can imagine that once somebody says, oh, this is a government project, well, let's acquire more than those billions of dollars. Let's make it two. And if this gets done in a short time frame, it's going to be at peak inflation. So the North Loop is expected to remain closed through the summer, if not longer. Officials say it could take longer and take years and cost more than $1 billion to repair the damage in the environmentally sensitive landscape. But we overcome nature so that we can exploit it for driving through it instead of letting nature be nature. But it lets us see, right? It lets us see the park and everything is pretty. But the reality is that nature will take it all back and it will cost money, time, resources. Let's move on to the last article of today. Georgia city official resigns after Confederate shop opens up. It's history, folks. The shop sells items with racial slurs and caricatures of black people. How is that even allowed to exist in the United States? Not as a law, but as a social construct of humanity. It exists because we've ignored teaching this across the board that human beings were enslaved for generations in the United States, let alone or elsewhere, okay? We know about tribalism. We know about people fighting other people and killing them and enslaving them in the microcosm of the conflict of regional disputes over resources. And that is largely a human and, I mean, it's a basic animal kind of a concept, okay? That's why lions fight when they meet each other, and it's for resources and mating, and that's basically what that is all about, right? But you're a human being, so why are we doing this kind of stuff to other human beings? Why are there racial slurs that exist? Well, it's to demean and dehumanize another human being so that you can treat them lesser, even though the people you're talking about could be absolutely brilliant and life-changing in terms of their discoveries and benefit to society, but because they have a different colored skin or speak a little bit differently, suddenly you can make a caricature out of them, and not in a good way. You know, walking down the street of New York and you meet an artist that creates caricatures that take whatever natural thing you have and they blow it out of proportion as satire. No. This is a dehumanizing characterization or caricature of humans. This is racial slurs that in any other sense of the world, the same people would despise someone making a racial slur about them and despise an offensive caricature of them. People like this are sociopaths and have to look at their environment. There has to be lead paint somewhere in this. Okay. So it says Kennesaw Councilman James Dock Eaton said he wanted no part of the city's decision to issue a business license to the downtown store. His resignation is effective on June 21st. It breaks my heart to have to do it, Eaton told the Atlanta Journal Constitution. Unfortunately though. So Councilman Eaton is leaving, and that means that there isn't necessarily an underpinning, there isn't some floor to the racism and bigotry and dehumanizing of other people. It's basically going to allow Kennesaw to push people out because they don't fit their particular bent. And I can imagine that it's going to be, white, middle class for that area. Eaton's daughter, Chris Eaton Welsh, owns a chiropractic business across the street from the souvenir shop and said she plans to relocate. All that's doing is driving it out and driving out reasonable, critically thinking people. What needs to happen is more people need to go in there and drive that ideology out of existence. This is the same thing, and it's not freedom of speech, it's hate speech. Society shouldn't tolerate it. There's a difference between selling merchandise and propagating hate, Eaton Welsh said. Agree. Marjorie Lyon, who worked with Myers for years, said reopening Wildman's wasn't a decision, it's an honor. This is Wildman's Civil War surplus reopened Tuesday after closing earlier this year following the death of its founder, Dent Wildman Myers, and the expiration of its business license. I don't have any control over someone's emotional response, she said. I've heard all kinds of colorful things, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. The store also carries Confederate memorabilia, antique weapons, and Civil War books. Great! Learned nothing from the Civil War. Except a business model, apparently. Okay. That's enough news for today, for at least Hometown Daily News Show. I continue to read and gather up, and Hometown exists to do just that, so that I can have a consolidated location for news across 50 segments of interest for me, largely bound by business, technology, and society, and that merging. You cannot get away from the merging of business, technology, and society. So with that in mind, I want to thank anybody who stumbles across this stream as a VOD, goes over to YouTube and watches it there. Please follow, like, etc. over there, ring the bell and whatnot. I'm over on Twitter, although I didn't post that I was going to stream today. And of course, the podcast. It's very important to me. I'm 6 months into this, and coming up on the end of the 6 months, we're on the second half of the 6 months. And I would love to make that number right there, the follower goal, 100%. Right now, we're looking at 88%. So I need a few more people. So please come over and let me know that you appreciate this kind of stuff if you're interested in it. Thank you very much for coming. I'll see you tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Bye-bye.